The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
All right, we did it. We did it. Not that this is too much information, but thanks to that offering, I was able to use the facilities, which I haven't had the chance to do today. But I've been drinking a lot of coffee, shot of espresso. Jay, did you explain what was going on today? They already know the situation. Did you feel like you had to pray in an unauthentic way because you were waiting on me to get here? Amen. Amen. Good. So all prayers counted. Okay, perfect. So good to see you. If you're a guest, welcome to Summit Cherrydale. My name is Jason, one of the teaching pastors and elders around here. I get the chance to stop by Cherrydale every now and then. Today is unique. Did you tell them why today is unique? Did you tell them where everybody was? Did you do the whole joke where Kyle's in a basement somewhere? You didn't do that part? All right, sorry, I gave you the punchline. I'm here today with the crazy. I come here every now and then, but I'm here today with the craziness because, you know, Cam is teaching in Summit Easley, and Kyle is teaching in someone's basement. Yeah. And so Lisa Adams, there was a wedding yesterday for someone in her family, and then they had the reception at the house, I think, and so she got in touch with us and said, I'm going to have like 50 chairs at my house, and I wondered if I put them in my basement. And I can invite like friends, family, and the Cliffs community to come and just you, maybe Kyle would come up and you could teach there. And so that's where Kyle is today. He's in the basement at their house. And so, which I'm excited about because that means probably next week we'll announce Summit Cliffs. And I want to be the campus pastor there. So I love to golf and seniority. Kip, you want to come with? All right. Jay, you golf a little. We've golfed together before. Come on out there. Amen. It's really great. It is a joy to be with you today. And again, if you're a guest, thanks so much for being here. Look out, see some familiar faces. this is a big day. Very excited today. I don't know if you remember this or not or how much has been talked about here, but there's a church in Spartanburg this morning called Bethany Baptist Church. It's been around for 70 years. And this morning, they are officially voting to dissolve as a church and become a part of Summit Spartanburg. And in doing so, they are, we'll hold the clap. Because in doing so, they're actually, it's really sweet, there's about 40 of them, most of them in their 50s, really 60s, 70s, and 80s. And they're a great, sweet church family. They approached us last spring about possibly coming together. And one of the things we've been praying for Spartanburg is that they would get a facility, a permanent facility, because for 7 years, they've been setting up and tearing down every week. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a whole lot. And so we've been specifically praying that the Lord would provide a space. You've been praying with us. It was part of our vision 2030. You know, we look kind of 12 years out, but then we also said over the next 2 years, here's some specific things we want to be praying. One of the things we were praying was in regards to Spartanburg being able to have a permanent church home. And then just a few months after we started specifically praying about that, they approached us, and that led to some conversations, and it's been going on since last May where we've been talking with their leadership team, our staff team, our pastors, a bunch of us have taught over there, and so they're really excited about. We don't anticipate that they wouldn't affirm to dissolve today. Like, that's all been part of the conversation. But when they dissolve, they're actually giving, like, and they're becoming a part of Summit Spartanburg. But with that, Bethany Baptist is basically handing us close to $1 million of assets as a church. Now we can clap. Because I don't know if you know that or not. It's not every day. One, that churches dissolve to become a part of something else. And then with no strings attached, like, here's our facility, which appraised at $700,000, and here's the money that we have in the bank, and here's our church van. And here, like, it's not like they were going to be closed by tomorrow, so they needed to do something. It was more for them thinking about legacy. And I'm telling you, it has been a humbling thing to walk this journey with them. And I've been around Summit from the beginning, and I've been asking myself lots of questions and asking the Lord lots of questions about, Lord, as I continue to do ministry, what does it look like decades down the road to be as humble and giving as this church has been? Like, totally blown me away. So we're thankful for the Lord's provision in that regard. It's been really a sweet journey. Super thankful for it. We are down to our last Sunday here in our In the Way of Grace series that we've been doing, starting next week here at Cherrydale, also over at Summit Malden. Our other three congregations are a week behind us, but next week at Malden here at Cherrydale, we're going to be kicking off our study through the book of Philippians. Very much looking forward to that. We'll be in Philippians throughout the spring and into the early part of the summer. If you're newer with us, that's usually what we're doing around Summit. We love studying through books of the Bible together. At different points and times, we'll stop and do a standalone series kind of like this one, or even just a standalone sermon. But we kicked off this year with this series intentionally, like there was thought process as elders and pastors behind doing it the way that we're doing it and kicking the year off with it. I don't know exactly how it's been talked about here because I haven't been here a ton over the last several weeks, but one of the things we wanted to do in kicking off this series in the way of grace is we wanted to let you know how we're praying for you as pastors and elders, also how we're praying for ourselves, that we would intentionally continue to, because I think for so many of you, you're continuing to, slash maybe for the first time, because I think some of you maybe for the first time, that we would intentionally continue to, or maybe for the first time, put ourselves in the way of grace, put ourselves in the way of Jesus, so to speak, and from that place, extend grace to those that we come in contact with in the everydayness of our lives. So what we've been doing to start this calendar year is we've been processing through a couple of intentional ways that we can do that we can put ourselves in the way of grace. Some would call them spiritual habits. Some might call them spiritual disciplines. But it's really just intentional things that we do. I mean, we've looked at several different scriptures that show us that intentionally engaging the Word of God is a way that we can practically put ourselves in the way of grace. We spent three different weeks talking about prayer, our communion with God, speaking to God, and we talked about that. It's a practical habit in which you and I can put ourselves in the way of grace. And then, obviously, over the last couple of weeks and closing here today, we've been talking about belonging, community. What does it mean to really be a part of the body of Christ? And if we are a part of the body of Christ, how is that a practical way that we put ourselves in the way of grace and extend grace to other people, right? That's part of the prayer too. So not only do I want to put myself in the way of grace, experience the grace of God in my life, but I also want to be able from that place to extend grace to other people. And obviously through the word, I'm encouraged to do that, and through prayer, how I'm thinking and processing through, courage to do that, and then obviously in community and belonging to one another to truly belong. If you've missed any of these messages, you can listen online, summitupstate.org. Has all of that there. I'm usually pretty encouraged. I get conversations with folks who, because of sickness or travel or whatever, they might miss where we are in our series, and then they kind of jump in and continue to listen and process along with us. Now, this is my this is my only message on belonging in the series, and obviously, it's also the only time that I'm in this series teaching over here at Cherrydale. And so I want to share with you something I've been processing and thinking about on a personal level that I think needs to be said before we go much further in regards to belonging and community, especially in regards to the local church. And this is something, actually, I've had this inner dialogue with myself for a while. If I said for decades, I think decades. And this is it. Would I be just as committed to the local church if I wasn't a pastor? That's a question Jason Malone's thought a lot about for 20-some-odd years. Would I be just as committed to the local church if I wasn't a pastor? Because I think part of this, you know, you talk about belonging, what you can say, and I think rightfully so, I'm not faulting you for saying it. As a matter of fact, I'm addressing it because I think you might be saying it or thinking it. Well, of course you're excited about this. So of course you're passionate about belonging to the church. Like, you're a pastor. Like, it's what you do. If you weren't excited about that, we'd be a little worried about you. So is it a little slanted in how I talk about it as a result of the fact that I'm actually a pastor? Now, here's what I would say. I believe I've had a front row seat over, like I said, many years to observe people who have leaned into biblical community and people who have decided that they didn't want biblical community. And because of that, because of the observations, things that I've observed, seen, and even in my own life, I think I could say to you, I would still be in. Because truth be told, I was in. Like, I love the church. I love the local church. I need you to know that on most weeks that I'm coming in to teach, like, I'm not really trying to get myself amped up out there. Okay, I got to go. Like, they got to believe that I really believe this. Like, I'm in. Like, I love it. And I've had great experiences. And for some of you, that's not the case with the church. I look back on my life, really starting in middle school, I loved it. I was at student ministry. Mom and Dad didn't make me go. I wanted to go. I had youth leaders that loved me and talked to me about Jesus. My friends were there. They were an encouragement to me. High school, I was there. Not at the exclusion of other things. Like, I played ball and that sort of stuff. But I wanted to be in student ministry. I wanted to be around, even as a high schooler. I've had a small group of guys that I've met with, honestly, on a weekly basis to talk about spiritual things since I was in high school. I'm 43. So when I was in high school, I wasn't a pastor. I went off to college, Cedarville University, Christian school, in the cornfields of Ohio. I was just up in Pennsylvania. Man, it's so cold up there. Felt like Ohio. It reminded me of my time at Cedarville. It's like, whoa, can't believe people stay up here. Anyway, but I loved it. I loved my college experience. I was at one of those places that had chapel every day. Every day, I had to go listen to somebody teach the Bible. Guess what? I loved it. Didn't feel bad about it. I liked going. It brought in some really great communicators. I'm down with this. Wasn't using up all my skips. Wasn't trying to figure out how to get out of it. You know what I'm talking about, jail, right? I enjoyed it. It was really, really great. And even in the midst of that, you know what I decided to do when I was in college? I found a local church. Hang on. Went to chapel every day for an hour. But I thought, let's sit in the local church. I'm going to go find a local church. Went to this little town called Xenia. That's with an X. And church of about 40 people. They had five middle school boys as a part of their church. And when they found out that I was at Cedarville College studying youth ministry, they were like, hey, will you teach these five middle schoolers? You know what I said? You got it. I'm in. It was great. It was so opposite of anything I'd ever been a part of. Most of the churches when I was younger were bigger churches. And then I went to the smaller church. The pastor was named John Lockhart. Fantastic. He was a guy. You'll love this, Jay. Like, he preached for a good hour and 15 minutes every week. And usually about 35 minutes in. Have I ever told you this story? About 35 minutes in, he would slip into a British accent. Like, I don't even think he didn't do it on purpose. Like, it wasn't the British part of the sermon. It was just what he would do. And he would go for about 5 minutes and then back to his normal Southern Kentuckian voice. It was fascinating. I absolutely loved it. And he would regularly just, like, throw money around the stage. Like, he was making points about stuff, and he always had this cash. He's, like, throwing it around. And so as a college kid, I took some of that. But Maybe that's the reason I was so in. No, I just say all of that to say, like, I love the local church. I've been committed to the local church. I've walked with a lot of people, obviously, through the years. And so I've seen the benefit of those who actually belong versus those who say they belong, but it becomes obvious in the midst of life, oftentimes the difficulty of life, that they don't actually belong. So I think I could say, based just on my observations and what I've seen, as the kindness of the Lord to give me a front row seat to some of this, that I think I would say, even if I weren't a pastor, being a part of a local church would still be a priority for me and my wife and my two daughters. Like, we would be in, we'd be a part of that. And I don't know where you sit today in regards to that. I don't know how you think about the church. Here's the thing, I can't take you to a Bible verse that says, thus saith the Lord, you shall join a local church in your town and go through their membership class and sign their membership covenant. That verse doesn't exist in Scripture. I don't know if you know that or not. Like, I even checked out the paraphrases, like the Message and stuff. It's not in there. And so, the fact of the matter is there's some of you in the room today that you're convinced that your irregular showing up, sitting in a row, heading back out the door without really knowing anybody, being known by anybody, but you would say you're a part of Summit. Like, for some of you, you're convinced that that's, like, enough, and you're skeptical. And again, I said a moment ago, I don't want to downplay anybody's past experience. Some of you are skeptical because there's been some pastors or leaders or churches in the past that have been real jerk faces, maybe to you or your family, and I'm really sorry about that. And so you're just reluctant to say, I'm going to be a part of a place, especially if you can't take me to a Bible verse that tells me that I need to sign your team membership covenant. So I'm just putting all this out on the front. Like, I get it. I get that. If you are super skeptical, and all I mean by that is you're convinced and ain't nothing you're going to say in the next 45 minutes is going to change my mind anyway, I would just want to say to you, and I'm not trying to be a jerk face, like, I'm not trying to convince you of that. If you want to have coffee and talk about it, I'd be more than happy to do that. I'm not trying to convince the skeptic this morning. At the same time, I think there may be some of you here that you're curious about a biblical framework for truly belonging to a local church, to committing to a like-minded group of people, a like-minded group of Jesus followers. There's some passages of Scripture that we'll look at this morning that I think will be an encouragement to you. There may be others of you that you are in, like this is your place, and you love it here, and you're committed here. And for you this morning, it might just be an encouragement and a reminder of why you've committed to what you've committed to. Because the fact of the matter is, belonging and being a part of the body, it has its challenges. It's messy sometimes. It's hard. Some of you have invested in people. So it's not just a pastoral thing. Like I said, I don't want you to think that. Like, well, you know, as a pastor, I've invested in people and they've walked away. The fact of the matter is, a lot of you have invested in people. You're not a pastor. You've invested in people. You've poured into people. And then they left. For really horrible reasons. Or not any reason. So I get it. Like, you're there. And so maybe for you this morning, it's just the encouragement of, yeah, there actually is something to truly belonging to a body of like-minded Christ followers in a local context. So I hope that's an encouragement to you. You may be here and you've been here for a while, and you're just, hey, practically, what does it mean to belong here, and what's the next steps in belonging here? We've got a Membership Connect coming up in 2 weeks. It's already been talked about this morning probably. You can sign up online to come be a part of a dinner. It's over 3 hours where we talk about what it means to belong here, our mission, our vision, our values, why we do what we do. And you're welcome to come to that. Even today, maybe some of this sets a little bit of framework for you about why we do what we do and how we go about doing what we feel like the Lord's called us to do as a local church. Like I said, it's different for me today. We're usually in one passage, kind of drilling down in that one passage, looking at everything. Today, for me, it's like a 30,000-foot overview, and we're just going to be in a couple of different spots, and I'm not even really teaching those passages, to be honest with you, although a lot of them, if not all of them, I think actually we've taught in the past, and so they're online if you want to listen to us spend 30 minutes on these verses in particular. But I just kind of a flying overview on two things. One, there are the metaphors all throughout Scripture, and the metaphors that are throughout Scripture have everything to do with truly belonging. Like an intentionality in belonging. And then I think there's some things in regards to leadership in a local context that help us understand there is something to saying, this is my place. And these are my people, so to speak. So normally we just tell you to open up your copy of the Scriptures that you have in front of us, but because I'm jumping around to a couple different places today, the guys were kind enough just to put the Scriptures up on the screen. You can jot down the references as well and go back and read them, the context of them a little bit more. But Ephesians 2, go back to this idea of metaphors. Ephesians 2, 19 through 21 says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." So this is the Apostle Paul who's writing here to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 2, and he's reminding all of them as he writes this, all the Christ followers there, that they're actually, as followers of Jesus, a part of a family. And again, here, I think the picture is one of belonging to the Big C church, the universal church, Christ followers around the globe. But that can't be, and it shouldn't be, separated from belonging and intentionally belonging and being invested in within a local, smaller context of believers. The idea of the metaphors uses, there's some sort of actual connectivity taking place, right? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 says it this way, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." Verse 13 says, "For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." Verse 15 says, "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body." Verse 17 says, "If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose." Verse 19 says, "If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet there is one body." So again, Apostle Paul reminding the church in Corinth that they're a part of what? We actually are a body fitted together. And whether the imagery, the metaphor is a flock or a temple or a body or the household, all of these words that are used are descriptive words. talking about specific people in a specific place in regards to the church. The metaphors are all about intentional connectivity. They are about the fact that we actually belong, that we are a part of the family of God. And that's not just something that we say and then randomly show up when it's convenient for us in a local context. No, no, it's actually something that we are. So are we living in that reality or not is a great thing to consider and regularly ask ourselves, especially in the culture in which we live. Because what culture do we live in? Consumeristic, I am at the center of the universe culture. It is about me and what I get out of this. And when I'm done getting anything out of this, I'm out. And if you think that that, without some sense of intentionality, won't bleed into the local church or the body of Christ, then you're sadly mistaken. All of you make choices every day based on what you get out of something. I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, right? Publix, Bilo, Lowe's food, whatever the case may be. Home Depot, Lowe's, not food, but the other Lowe's, like whatever it is, right? You're making decisions on where you go and who gets your money and that sort of thing based on what? The best deal for who? You. And to think that we automatically live in that culture 24/7 and then also step into this and think that we're going to think that differently, well, not without some sense of intentionality. Not without some sense of theological rooting, to be honest with you. Why? Because it gets hard. If it's not theologically rooted that you're in, then what? Then I'm in when it's convenient for me. And that's not actually being in at all. So the metaphors are about connectivity, but there's also a couple of different passages, and there's more than just these few that I'm going to read this morning, but this idea that there is some sort of pastoral encouragement, oversight, teaching, leadership, whatever word you want to use there. Acts 20 says this, verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Look at verse 30. This is crazy. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. So again, this is the Apostle Paul. He's actually in this, here in Acts 20, he's talking to the church leaders in Ephesus. I read Ephesians 2 a few moments ago. That's him writing to the church at Ephesus. Here in Acts 20, he's actually having a conversation. He's writing to the church leaders of Ephesus. And what is he telling them? He's telling them to shepherd and feed God's flock. He's telling them to take care of the local body of believers there in Ephesus, the leadership, the pastors, the elders, that they are called to care for what? A specific group of people there. Paul says, what? You're an overseer. You're intentionally watching over people. You're intentionally, as the leaders, you're intentionally caring for people. The author of Hebrews says it this way in verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So there's other passages as well, like where we read that as pastors, elders, leaders in the church, that we're accountable to what? To watch over people. Who are Jason Malone and the other elders of Summit? Who am I called to watch over? All Christ followers around the globe? No. All Christ followers in the United States of America, since this is, you know, the country in which you were born into. No? All the Christ followers in Greenville. Jason, guys, that's your responsibility. No? Who are we called to watch over? Summit. Yeah. And who do we watch over at Summit? Those who have said, watch over us. Right? Those who have said, I want to belong to this body of believers and have a people, not just the pastors. I mean, that's the thing I can speak on behalf of our life group leaders and our deacons and our staff team. That we want to care well for you. But who are we caring well for? People who have said, care well for me. Does that make sense? I mean, even and when Paul's talking to Timothy, a young pastor, and he writes 1 and 2 Timothy, and in 1 Timothy 3, Paul says, these are the qualifications for elder, and this is the qualification for pastor, and this is the qualification for deacon, which implies these qualifications for these roles in the church are qualifications in what? Caring for specific people who need to be cared for. So I want to let you in on a little something today. Maybe it goes without saying, but based on what we're talking about today, it's a great time to say it. All of you in this room that have said, Summit Church is my place, you get priority in my life. Did you know that? You get priority in Kyle's life. You get priority in Cam's life. our staff team, our deacons, our other elders, you get priority. Jason, what do you mean by that? I don't meet with everybody. Do you know that? Do you know I regularly have people who ask me to meet with them and that I regularly say no? Well, that's not very pastoral. Well, are they a part of Summit? And if they're not a part of Summit, I pray. I hope this doesn't sound too overly spiritual. I pray, Lord, is this somebody I'm supposed to meet with? And sometimes the Lord says, yes. So I meet with them. Sometimes, no. So I don't meet with them. Now, continue with this train of thought with me. Have I ever not met with someone who is a part of Summit? Never once have I not met with them. Ready for this? I don't even pray about it. I don't have to pray about it. Why? Because I'm a pastor here. I shepherd this flock. You're a part of the flock. I don't have to pray about whether or not to care for the flock of this place. Now, I love other churches. I'm for other churches. I'm thankful for other churches. We pray for other churches. We bless other churches financially. We meet with other pastors. We were talking about this the other day. I was just asking the guys because I was hearing just kind of in conversation, you meet with this church, you meet with this church. So I just sent a text to our pastoral staff team and said, how many pastors have y'all met with? And in 7 days, our small little pastoral team had been in 12 or 13 different meetings with close to 20 different pastors in our city. So we love other places. I'm all about it. But when I meet with those other pastors, you know what I'm doing? Encouraging them to love and care for their flock really well. How can I come alongside you and what you've been called to do for your flock? You're a priority for us. Do we miss that sometimes? Man, yeah. And I'm sorry. Like some of you could even say that today. Well, I mean, I needed somebody at a certain point in time and I didn't feel like you guys were there for me. That's fair. We've missed it. I hate that. And some of you are skeptical because of a place that you came from where nobody was there for you. So the idea of saying once again, well, I want someone to care for me when you come from an experience where you weren't cared for, like that's legit. Like I get it. I get that. But I also think it's fair for all of us to ask the question, if I'm at a place where they're committed to walking with me, am I committed to being walked with? And am I committed to walking with people as well? Like, that's a fair question to ask, right? I think it is. I mean, even talking through this today, I hope it gives you a little bit of a snapshot of even philosophically and methodologically why we do what we do. I mean, a lot of you know that we intentionally have our congregations are a little bit smaller numerically, and when they begin to grow, we go plant other churches. A piece of that is what? We want to walk with people. I want to know what's going on with people. Can you hide and not be known in a church of 50? Sure you can. Is it easier to hide and not be known in a church of a larger number numerically? Maybe so. Can you be known in a church that's larger? Yeah. What does that take? It takes intentionality everywhere. But there has been something really sweet for us, even though we've grown, that we know where people are and what's going on with people. And if you're gone over a couple of weeks here, that maybe, just maybe, you'd get a phone call from Kyle or Cam or somebody in Summit Kids saying, we missed you. Is everything going okay? Like, there's just a better chance for us to know that kind of stuff. And we want to know that kind of stuff. Like, we've made decisions along the way in that regard that are practical and tangible that maybe as you hear us talk about this, you go, okay, that makes a little more sense. We don't all have ministry assistants and secretaries. Most of you have our cell phone numbers. You don't have to get through 18 people to get a coffee with us. That's intentional on our end. Pastors and elders, we have a running document that we update on Mondays of difficult things that people at each one of our congregations is walking through. And every congregation that we know of, 15 to 20 different people, marriages that are hurting, people without jobs, sickness, kid that's not walking with the Lord. We've got that list. We pray through that. I have it in my Bible at home, which is in my office where I have my quiet time. And I didn't do it just because I'm talking about this today. But this morning, before I came to this congregation, I prayed through the list of names of Summit Cherrydale. And what you're walking through, that I'm aware of, that our team's aware of. We're in. We love you. We want to walk with you. And so many of you are in with us. You walk with us. You encourage us. You come alongside us. It's a beautiful two-way street. This idea of truly belonging to community, committing to a group of people within the local church where you serve them and they serve you, and there's this sense of expectation upon you. I just want to say, like, it's not popular in our current cultural climate, right? Where everyone's actually most interested in themselves and their comforts, and they're being right above all things, and their needs being met above all things, and customer service is the highest priority, and people live their life looking for ways to be disappointed, let down, frustrated, and outraged. This is the world we're in, it feels like. We are a people of individual independence. We love it. We hold tightly to it. And it is one of the reasons that the beauty of the gospel is so upside down. Does that make sense? When you say, I'm going to belong to a local body of believers and be invested in their life and they be invested in my life, in our individualistic consumer culture, that sticks out, does it not? The fact that you're even here this morning, you know your neighbors see you pulling. Where are you going? I have people come over to my house, small groups. They'll come over to my house, right? And my cul-de-sac will be full of different cars. And my neighbors come out and go, what's that about? That's a group of people who gets together on a regular basis to encourage each other spiritually, pray for one another, know what's going on in each other's lives. Well, that's weird. Yeah, exactly. It sticks out. When you're committed to bringing your children and putting them in an environment once a week where what's talked about in those rooms complements what you're talking about in your home, that sticks out in our culture. When your students say, I want to be a part of a student ministry and get together with my friends. When you say as a family, we're going to prioritize that, and instead of playing a sport that takes us all over the place every weekend, we're actually going to plug into a local church somewhere. You don't think that sounds weird? That's weird in our culture. What does it mean to actually belong? Because here's the thing, people that I talk with, so many of you and people you talk with as well, it's not that people don't want to belong to community, it's just that in our day and age, maybe since sin entered into the world, it's kind of been this way. Everybody says they want community, everybody just wants it on their terms. Like, that's the challenge, isn't it, for all of us? And so sometimes the terms look like this: I want community, but I don't want responsibility with the community. As in, if you ask too much of me, I'm out. Right? Some people want community without commitment. If I decide I don't like it, I'm kind of done with you, then I'm out. Some people want community without accountability. Like, I'm really in on this until you say something that I disagree with, that I don't like. Then I'm out. Well, Jason, that's never happened. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah. And not just as a pastor, like, you've experienced that, right? You've got friends and family that have, they want to be in with you, and then they start making these decisions that are contrary to what God's word actually has to say, and you want to talk with them about that? What do those people tell you? See ya. Or maybe they don't say anything at all. They're just gone. But that's not belonging. That's not community. If you want community, but you just want it on your terms, that's just using people. That's not true biblical community. And I get it, like, I'm going to keep saying it again. Some of you are skeptical, but Jason, I got burned. Yep, right on. I'm with you. Jason, I invested and they walked away. Absolutely. I was on Twitter the other day and I saw I don't even know the pastor, but the pastor wrote this tweet and it was about how he's currently working with a counselor. And he's processing through the number of people in his pastoral ministry that have, what are the kids saying? Ghosted him? Is that a thing? Yeah, I'm not down with the lingo, but from what I can gather, people who were around and then they're just gone after you've invested and been around and done life with them. The real thing. So I don't want to downplay any hurt or pain in your background in regards to that. I also want to continue to call you to what it is that Scripture calls us to, and that's to lean in, to belong, to let people here count on you, and you count on people, not more than Jesus. I don't know, I probably don't need to say that. Let me ask it this way. If things went sideways in your life, in fact, the matter is things go sideways for everybody. So at some point in time, things are going to go sideways. If things went sideways for you, or if you're currently walking through a really hard season, is there anybody in this room that you would call? Like, that's my idea of, like, am I in here? Like, do I know people? Are there people in here that I've connected with them in such a way? Maybe it's your small group. But maybe you'd be honest and go, no, not even in my small group. Like, maybe even in that, you go, I'm not really in small group. I just get the emails that tell me about small group. We don't prioritize small group. So all this life's happening and these things are being shared, but I don't know. I just get an email update or a text message. And I have life group leaders who ask me, and I think it's a fair question of life group leaders. Do we keep keeping all these people on the list that say they're in group, but they're actually not in group, and these people are sharing these personal things, but they're not really tied in, so do I send this to all these people who actually don't know what's going on because they're really not committed? That's a legit question. If something went sideways for somebody, and they needed to reach out to somebody at Summit Cherrydale, would your phone ring? Maybe I could ask it that way. Anybody calling you? Because you're in here? Anybody in your small group reaching out to you? Here's what's going on with me. For us and belonging here, and I know some of you, it's a reminder for some of you, others of you go, okay, well, what does it mean to actually be around Summit and belong at Summit? Oh, just a couple of things. It's not a super complicated process. It's Membership Connect, the dinner, and then it's a one-on-one with one of the pastors or elders where we get to hear a little bit more of your story, how you came to know Jesus. Talk to you a little bit about us again, but ask where you're coming from, if you're coming from another church in town in particular. Ask you how you left that church. That's always fun. We ask, how'd you leave where you're coming from? Is that a good thing? Do you need to go back and make that right? Do you need to leave? Did you ghost your pastor? He had no idea you're over here? That's good. I'm going to wear that. I'm going to put it in the team membership covenant. Put ghosting in there. Just thought of it. I think those are legitimate things to process and think through, right? And so we have those kinds of conversations. But there is a team membership covenant. And basically the gist of the team membership covenant is, we want to be invested in. We want to be cared for. We want to invest in other people and care for other people. That's what it is. There's nothing magical about it. Again, I can't take you to the verse. But we know. I want to live in these values. I want people to invest in me in regards to these values. There's a question in there about if you, and we put this in. It wasn't originally in it, but then we realized what was happening, so we put it in there. Like, there's a question on the team membership cover. That's part of what you sign is, if I begin to walk away from my faith, if I start walking away from my family, I want the pastors and the elders of this place to come after me. That's what you sign. Why? Because we're in. Because we've come after people. And still been said, I'm not interested. Okay. Do you remember when you signed here that you, yep, still not interested. Okay. And other people who have said, oh yeah, that's right. Thanks for being persistent. Thanks for coming after me in love. Thanks for coming after me with truth and love. So again, I can't take you to a verse that says, join this local church. I can take you all throughout scripture and talk about what it actually means to belong to a place. And that needs to be talked about in this culture. So it means that we commit, right? That verse in Hebrews about leaders and pastors keeping watch, that's us serving you, walking with you, teaching you, encouraging you, counseling you. But again, the people who get the most of our time and energy as elders are those who have said that this is their place. That's part of what it means to be a team member here. And I also don't want to blow past the other part of that verse in Hebrews that encourages those that are part of the body to make the job of a pastor a joy and not a burden, right? That's maybe a whole other message for a whole other time. Some of you may be wondering, well, what about me when you see me? Is it a joy or burden? Right. So we'll talk after this. If you want to know, we can talk after the service. No, here's the truth, and I hope you see, sometimes I get really passionate about what I'm talking about, and hopefully my passion doesn't come across as I'm angsty about anything, but my passion comes from a place of, like, it is a joy to pastor the people of Summit. I love it. Are there hard things? Yeah. Are the people of Summit a burden? It's sweet. I think it's because of how we've talked about it all along. Like, even though we've grown, like, there's still people who say that And we hear this a good bit. Man, some of it's grown, but it still feels like a family. Well, part of that is because we know each other and we're invested in each other's lives. We're going to keep calling you to that. And if you don't actually want to take any steps deeper at Summit in regards to relational community, then we've just found what happens is people leave. They're not angry about it, and we're not jerks about how we talk about it. We don't berate anybody. It's just we kind of celebrate the fact that 80% of our church is still in small groups, even though we've grown from 5 families to 1,000-some-odd people that'll worship today across Summit campuses. We celebrate that because that's where life-on-life kind of stuff happens. That's where we know people are getting shepherding care. We just went on a life group leader retreat. We took 100 life group leaders from across the campuses of Summit to spend a couple of days with them. Why? Because they're on the front lines of caring and walking with people. There's a method to our madness in that regard. So it is a joy. It is not a burden. This isn't about blindly following. I'm going to go back to some of your past. This isn't about blindly following leadership. We can't ask any questions. We can't challenge anything. Can't critique anything. Sure, absolutely. You can challenge anything. You can talk to us about anything you want to. The question would be, are you known for just being a critic and finding the gaps that we've got? Because we got gaps. Good grief, do we have gaps. And some of our ceilings, literally gaps for water. But no, like we realize that we've got things. And so I'm okay with you sharing with me your observations of our gaps, and I'll pull out my list and show you the list that I have. It's a big list. Even when this calendar year started, all the pastors and elders were sitting around a table, and we went around the table, and we celebrated things that the Lord's been doing in the life of Summit. And then there was the question that went out to all the people around the table. It was like, where do you see gaps? Where do we need to grow? What needs to change? We've got a running list on that sort of stuff. But if you're here just trying to find out what's wrong with us, well, there's lots. But that'll impact whether or not you actually feel like you belong in this place, I think. So not only do we commit, we prioritize. Maybe I can say it this way, be here with plans of being here. I think it was Josh Harris or somebody like that that wrote a book years ago called Stop Dating the Church. I think it really resonated with our culture because in a culture of prenups and trying to figure out whether or not I really want to commit to you or not, whether I'm in or not, people have let that, like I said, bleed into the church. It was Jim Elliot. He was a missionary who lost his life taking the gospel to another part of the globe. But he famously said, wherever you are, be all there. And so that's a question that you have to wrestle through and process through is whether or not you go, like, this is my place. I can't answer that for you. I wouldn't try to. But do you take advantages of when the body gets together, whether it be Sunday morning, whether it be life groups, whether it be outside of life groups, having people over, people having you over, student ministry or Summit Kids, whatever the case may be. And even in that, I mean, that's the third thing for us to be around here is we serve together. If you don't feel like you're connected, that'd be one of the things I would ask. Like, are you stepping into the environments where you could connect? And are you giving your life away in some sense with another group of people? Because that will allow you to feel like you're connecting. That would be a piece of connecting. Melissa and her team, you know, I talk about Summit Kids. I talked about this last week at Malden, this morning at Greer as well. It's like, we got so many volunteers who just do a fabulous job. And they give of their time and energy to be in these classrooms over here. And like I said, come alongside what you're wanting to teach as parents. And they're pointing people to Jesus. And they're giving up their time. They're in there today serving in that capacity so that you could be in here. So if you also have a child who is benefiting from others that are investing in them today, why would you not want to also once a month serve in that capacity so that other people could be in here? Like, that's not guilt motivation, but it's also not rocket science. This is what we do. And it's not always Summit Kids. It can be the greeting team, the connections team. It could be the worship team. It could be the tech team. I mean, this morning I walk in, I haven't been around in a couple of months, you know, and I walk in this morning and I look in the back, and those two guys that are running things in the back today, for a decade they've been doing that. Not every week, like they're a part of the team, giving of their time, serving other people. And when things are breaking and falling apart, they're back there trying to put it all back together again. Do a fantastic job with that. We serve together. We give. I think that's another part of being here. Like, we live with our hands open because of the sacrificial generosity of individuals into the collective. We're able to do things. We're able to care for people. We're able to bless other ministries and stuff. Maybe Kyle and Cam said this, but you know, over the last couple of weeks, we were able to give away several thousands of dollars to other churches and organizations. But we were able to do that because we were collectively generous. So that's a legitimate question, right? So here's a question you can ask yourself. When Summit celebrates the fact that they gave away thousands of dollars to other churches and organizations, are you, because you're generous and you give here as a part of the family, are you able to go, woohoo, love it, look what we're doing? Or do you go, all right, are you really a part of it? I'm not talking about an amount. I'm just saying, are you a giver at what the Lord's calling us to do collectively? Do you know that we have people in our midst across all of our Summit campuses that don't have jobs? They're unemployed. They're trying to figure out how to pay their bills. You know, we have people who work for the government, and when the government shut down, we had people that didn't know how they were going to feed their families. Right? There's other things going on. There's medical bills that people can't pay. Do you know a part of this family is that we care for people, even financially? How are we able to do that when we're generous? Here's what I found in my own life. I feel very connected to the things that I give money to. Can I be so blunt? I'm in. My wife and I obviously give here at Summit Church. We're in on that, so I feel connected to Summit Church. But we have missionaries that we support on a monthly basis. And I feel very invested in their ministries. I want the newsletter. I pray for them. But a part of that is we give to that. So if you're asking questions and you've been around, you go, I just don't feel very connected. These would be the things. Are you actually committed? Do you actually prioritize it? Do you actually serve and give your life away? Do you live with your hands open? All of those things are pieces, tangible pieces of belonging, of connecting. And I think this is the last thing I'd say, I'll be done. That we invite other people in. Like if this is your place, if this is your family, if this is your team, whatever word you want to use, then would you continue to be intentional about inviting other people? A lot of you are a part of Summit because someone was intentional and invited you in. Is God so sovereign and so with it that you're doing life with people, who need a church family like you've had a church family? Like we love evangelism. We talk about that all the time, right? You're doing life with people who don't know the gospel or haven't given their life to walk in with the Lord. And so would you be intentional? 100%. Like we're all for that. I would also say you're also doing life, especially here in the cultural South where everybody has a church home, but that means that they don't go to church, right? Everybody, if you ask around the South, if they're from the South, do you have a church? Oh, I got a church. If you dig a little deeper though, what do you find out? Well, it was their grandparents' church. And there's a pew named after them. And, you know, maybe Easter, maybe Christmas. You know that. Is God so with it though that he's allowed your path to intersect their path, whether it be family or friend, acquaintance, work acquaintance, school, someone you go to school with, that they would say that they want to walk with the Lord or they walk with the Lord, but they don't have a place where they're actually belonging and someone to care for them. And when things go sideways, guess what? They're going to look to you to care for them and you should care for them. But how sweet would it be if they were also a part of a place where other people would also care for them so that you don't have to care for them alone? Because you weren't called to care for everybody alone either. That's the beauty of the body. Make sense? The only sustainable motivation for truly belonging to a local group of Christ followers is to constantly look at the one who called you to himself, the one who called you to belong to him and has never once, not once, he has never offered you conditional community. And what God has given you in Jesus is the only thing that can call you into a life of sacrifice for the sake of others in the midst of the most consumeristic culture that has ever walked the planet. And when you and I make decisions on a daily basis to interact with people and truly do life with people, what we're doing is we're putting ourselves in the way of grace to experience life with Jesus in a way that we would not if we continued to do life by ourselves, let nobody in, serve nobody else, and only show up at a worship service a couple of times a month and called that belonging. I want to pray over you if I could, and then we're going to dismiss you. You can bow your heads and close your eyes and just in the quietness of the moment, again, super thankful that you're here today. I look out and see so many faces of those of you that love people well and make people feel connected. I think it's a part of the culture of Summit. I think it's a part of the culture of Summit Cherrydale. It's part of the reason it continues to grow. When we sit and we do talk with people, what we hear from so many is this is a welcoming place. People, I feel like, really care about me, really care about my family, really care about my kids. Super thankful for that. I pray the Lord will continue to grow us with that, with like-minded people in our midst that truly want to belong and do life for the sake of others. Father God, I'm so thankful for this place, that in your kindness and grace, as I was just saying, that you have continued to bring people around One that want to be cared and loved on and also want to care and love on others. I acknowledge again, I hope the folks have heard it today in my talking, that I know so many come from a wounded place, a place where things weren't handled in a biblical way or a caring way. So they're a little jaded, maybe, a little burnt, a little hurt, and that's legitimate. I pray that your Spirit, because I believe your Spirit would, do a work in heart, work in their heart and their mind in such a way that they would see the beauty and the benefit of truly belonging, that they would let people in to know what's going on with them, that those of us that are maybe tired and weary from investing in others would not grow weary in loving and caring for others, and that the beauty, as I was just talking about, in hope of the gospel, what we have in Jesus Christ would motivate us to keep going, to love people well. May we continue to put ourselves in the way of grace through engaging you through the word, prayer, and living in biblical community. For your glory and fame, we ask these things. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.